This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow. I think everything's under control. So we had a little hiccup this month when we closed end of month. Everything balanced out okay. But there was somehow that our user community figured out how to get some transactions put through that were the wrong type somehow. I think we figured out how it happened, but that has been corrected. This is with a program that has been churning away now for 8 years. There's always something with technology. So after 8 years, in fact, we found a little hole in our validation that allowed some stuff to sneak through. So we were off by $245, but we found it and got that corrected. And hopefully that will not happen again. It's just so fascinating. Just so very, very fascinating. Anyways, so it has been a long week. I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of meetings, you know, absorbing information on this big new project that I'm working on. But that all seems to be going fine. It's going just fine. The writing's going fine. I'm up to 230 or so pages. I'm closing in on 70,000 words. I thought originally the book was only going to be about 75,000 words, but I'm not quite done telling the story yet, and it would be nice if it went to 300 pages. There's a certain heft to a book that has 300 pages, and so I'm going to just keep pottering along with that, see how close I can get to 300 pages, and finishing that up. But you know, that all seems to be going fine. I mean, there's obviously lots of editing to do and lots of tweaking and atmosphere to add and all those types of things, but I'll get that all added. It's going to be interesting to see, because this is April, obviously, so you know, if it goes to 300 pages, it's probably going to take me another 4 weeks. That'll put me at the beginning of May. And then I've got editing to do, so several weeks of editing. Then I've actually have to create a cover. So it's possible this thing won't go to beta till July 1st. So that's going to be a little tight to get two done in a year. It takes me that long to write these things, but you know, it's gonna be fine. It's just gonna be fine. I'm enjoying the book so far, and you know, I think I'm setting up to being able to say the things that I would like to say in this particular book, so it's good. I'm frankly a little tired today. So It's been a long week, but it's fine. It's fine. I had mentioned some heart palpitations I was having last week. I think I've pretty much concluded at this point that those were due to excess salt. Because it seems, well, Saturday night, my wife and I went to Fazoli's, and I had like 4 of their breadsticks, which of course are loaded with salt. And then Friday, I had gotten some mixed nuts, the cheap mixed nuts at Walmart, just a little bag of them, but I mean, they were just loaded with salt. And it seems like the next day, I don't know, because if I get dehydrated, I'm not really sure why, but, you know, my heart was just beating like crazy. I mean, I was at like 120 beats at resting state, which that's very unusual for me. But then it would, like, settle down and I'd be fine the rest of the day, so who knows? like right now I'm at 60, 62, something like that, which is about right, 65, somewhere in there. Anyway, so that's all going fine. We're celebrating my grandson's one-year-old birthday this week. So I'm having a little party for him. Oh, speaking of which, that's what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to talk to Lizzie, my daughter, about a gift for my grandson. I'm going to have to call her after this podcast and see what is to see. So anyways, that's all good. It's all good. Everything's good. We're good. Good. This project I'm working on is going to be really interesting. Oh, man. Wow. Talk about complicated. Whew. Step at a time. Step at a time. We'll see. Anyways, I had mentioned last week that I was going to talk about the Edward Snowden interview on TED this week and the response from the NSA. I almost didn't do this. I thought, I don't care. But then a buddy of mine had written me this last week, and he was talking about that and kind of setting it in the larger context of what's coming. You know, is there a utopia or dystopia coming? And I thought he had some interesting comments. And then that got me thinking, well, you know, maybe I should do this and just chat a little bit about this whole process. This Windfall series that I'm working on, that I'm basing for emotional atmosphere on The Second Coming by Yeats, that is a masterful poem. Wow, it's good. It's just so well done. And as I was thinking and listening, you know, and preparing my notes today, I was just thinking back to those lines out of The Second Coming by Yeats. How the best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. I thought, wow, that really... Because when you listen... Well, I'll get to that in a minute. So there's no way I'm going to get through all my notes, so I'm just going to have to skim through stuff, because I got 22 pages of notes, and so there's just no way I'm going to get through all that. So I'm just going to kind of hit the highlights of the two sessions, one with Edward Snowden and one with the deputy director of the NSA. Really fascinating, because Edward Snowden, you know, he came right out of the gate in his talk, in which, by the way, he's very articulate. He's not a nut. He claims that what he was trying to do is to do this in the most responsible way he could, and since he was a contractor and not actually an employee for the NSA, there weren't that many avenues available to him where he had a high degree of confidence that what he was trying to, that the information he was trying to get released would actually get released. And so that's why he did what he did. And he came right out of the gate saying that what really matters here is the kind of government we want, the kind of internet we want, and the kind of relationship between people and societies. And that's what I'm hoping the debate will move towards, and we've seen that increasing over time. He said, if I had to describe myself, I wouldn't use words like hero, I wouldn't use patriot, and I wouldn't use traitor. I'd say I'm an American and a citizen, just like everybody else. You know, and one of the things that drove him forward was the fact that he didn't believe there were things that should be done in secret and decisions that were being made without the public's awareness, without the public's consent, and without even our representatives in government having knowledge of these programs. And he said he thought to himself, how can I do this in the most responsible way that maximizes the public benefit and minimizes the risk? And he said as he looked around at the avenues available to him, he said the one thing he knew about America is that free speech was guaranteed, and specifically a free press, and he felt like if he took this information to the press, that they would stand a chance of actually getting it out. He said, and by working with journalists, by giving all of my information back to the American people, rather than trusting myself to make the decisions about publications, we've had a robust debate with a deep investment by the government that I think has resulted in a benefit for everyone. Which, you know, you can't really argue with that as far as I'm concerned. And he said, what's interesting, he said, is that there were some companies who were getting subpoenaed for information that actually tried to resist this in court. But the courts were all secret courts, and they got turned down at every turn. So even if they tried to fight it, you know, the government just came in and said, well, we'll try that in our secret courts and see what they say. And lo and behold, the secret court would come back and say, nope, that's okay, you can do that. There were some other things that were really fascinating to me as well. He was talking about how that it was really interesting to watch some of the hearings and things when the NSA would sit there and say, no, we can't get you statistics on how many phone calls we're intercepting or what we're doing, because to do that would violate your privacy, so we just don't have any way to know. He said, when I'm staring at documents, that says they do have ways to know. They know exactly, because that's part of the data that they're collecting. The other one that I thought was fun was that he said there are internal documents in the NSA that document the fact that, he says, but what's especially interesting about this, about the fact that the NSA has violated their own rules, their own laws, thousands of times in a single year, including one event by itself, one event out of 2,776 that affected more than 3,000 people. He said, in another event, they intercepted all the calls in Washington, D.C. by accident. He said, what's amazing about this report, which apparently was an internal document to the NSA, where they documented the fact that they had violated the law, is he said that it didn't get much attention. He said, is the fact that not only were there 2,776 abuses, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, had not seen the report until the Washington Post contacted her and asked her for comment. And then she had to request a copy from the NSA and received it, but had never seen that before until she requested the copy. So supposedly, you know, there's oversight over the intelligence community, but the chairman of the Senate intelligence community has no idea that rules are being broken thousands of times a year. You know, that's very interesting. And they got on, I thought it was also cute because they got on the, among other things, got on the topic of like Dick Cheney and Edward Snowden, or there was, the quote was made to Edward Snowden that Dick Cheney, who had said Julian Assange, who was WikiLeaks, was a flea bite, Edward Snowden is the lion that bit the head off the dog. And Edward Snowden came back and he said, well, Dick Cheney's an interesting person. He said, you know, back when WikiLeaks was happening, he said, Cheney was saying that it was going to end governments worldwide and the skies were going to ignite and the seas were going to boil off. And now he's saying it's a flea bite. He said, so I wouldn't put much stock in what Dick Cheney says. Well, okay, he's got a point. I also thought it was interesting that the moderator asked Edward Snowden, he said, so have you pretty much dropped all the you know, shock bombs at this point? Is there nothing shocking left? And Edward Snowden said, well, there are absolutely revelations to come. And he said, I don't think there's any question that some of the most important reporting is yet to come. So this is going to be really interesting to see whether that all goes. He also talked about the fact that the NSA had a program that gave advice on encryption to companies that was purposely bad advice, so that encryption would be weakened so that the NSA could crack the encryption and could actually get into stuff that they really shouldn't have been able to get into. And of course, Edward Snowden's concern is that if you weaken encryption, you're weakening it across the board for all of the internet. And things that we have relied on, like online banking and those kind of things, if those things are not secure, it's bad. And I think I mentioned this last week. The topic of terrorism came up, and Edward Snowden's response was, he said, in the intelligence community, we always call that a cover for action. That terrorism evokes such a visceral emotional response in people that you can pretty much justify anything if you tell people it's going to keep you safe from terrorism. And he was saying that some of these programs, like the program to weaken the internet or weaken the security on the internet, had actually been brought up before 9/11, and Congress had turned it down, said, no, we don't want to do that. But after 9/11, the NSA basically just went ahead with it, if I remember correctly in what he was talking about, because their cover was, you know, this is going to keep us from having more terrorist events. So, you know, Edward Snowden, obviously, I think, believes in what he's doing. He did it because he didn't think what was being done was right, and this was the only way that he could see to have the information actually come out. You know, for whatever you think of him or what he has done, he's not a raving lunatic, and I would suggest to anybody that it would be worth your time to go and watch the TED Talk with Edward Snowden to see that the guy is a well-spoken, well-reasoned young man that in his own conscience could not continue being a part of what he was part of and put his own life at risk to get this information out. Okay, so they ask him, okay, you know, what's the big idea that you think? Then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. If you could encapsulate the single idea, he was asked, he said, what would that be? And he said, I would say that the last year has been a reminder that democracy may die behind closed doors, but as we as individuals are born behind those same closed doors, and we don't give up our privacy to have good government, and we don't give up our liberty to have security, and I think working together we can have both open government and private lives. And I look forward to working with everyone around the world to see that happen. So this, that's a pretty interesting conclusion. Getting back to my buddy's comments about the fact that he was hopeful that utopia was still possible in the midst of all this. Okay, so then you got the flip side of it. Edward Leggett, I think was his name, deputy director of the National Security Agency, serving for the National Security Agency. He had his own... our garage door's open. I think my beloved went to Silver Dollar City today. This is why I'm grateful that I live in the country. Oh no, she's over there. Maybe she just got home. I'm looking down at my kid's house and my wife's van is down there. So maybe she just got home. Anyways, so of course his job is to come in and explain this all away. And, you know, to his credit, he is very well spoken as well. But you feel bad for the guy because he doesn't really stand much of a fighting chance. Anyone who is the least bit, I'm getting my mouth, the least bit conspiratorially minded at all, anyone who has any distrust at all in the government whatsoever, obviously is going to be listening to all of this and is going to say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. What? All victims of crime suffering. What is this for? Okay. So we can notify the judge at sentencing how the impact... Oh, this was from my... I got a thing from the prosecutor's office from when I had the accident. And poor Ricky Lee apparently is going to have to go to court, and they want to know sentencing information as to how it's impacted my life. Basically, I just don't have a trunk. That's how it's impacted my life. But I think I'm finally on the road to getting that fixed. It's been a couple of weeks. Anyways, so you feel bad for this guy with the NSA, because there's really not much he could say about anything if a person has any kind of ill feelings towards the government at all. Because you're just going to sit there and listen to him and go, yeah, yeah, whatever, But he was very well-spoken, and he was trying to make the case that, look, we have this global telecommunications system that is very sophisticated. It's an amazing wonder of the world. And not just good people use it. All kinds of people use it. And therefore, it's a resource for us to try to help the American people not be subject to another terrorist attack. I'm backing into my garage. And he claims that there have been like 54 terrorist attacks that have been thwarted because of the work that has been done by the NSA with these types of programs. The moderator said, well, some have said, though, that it really wasn't these programs that made it possible for the terrorist attack to be thwarted. You could have gotten the information other ways. And, of course, then he has to come back and say, no, it was because of this. Of course, now it's just he said, she said. And he talked about cyber terrorism or cyber attacks and how much, you know, that is playing and is going to play a part in the future. And how he feels like the United States has been really damaged by these revelations, because once the NSA was outed and people know what the NSA can do and what its capabilities are, then obviously people who are trying to hide are going to be aware of that. And so then they're going to cut back on those things. he did say that he felt like the NSA needed to do a much better job of describing who they were and what they did. Because he said we've typically been shrouded in secrecy. And so people become suspicious when you're shrouded in secrecy. But of course, even if they were very transparent, we'd all look at them and go, yeah, well, you're not really telling us the whole truth. Because, you know, it's the super secret government. You know, it's just, I felt bad for him. And he was trying to say, yeah, every industrialized nation in the world has these types of programs. And, you know, it's too bad that now other internet service providers around the world are using this as a club against the United States and saying, well, see, you can't trust any of their companies because the NSA is, you know, grabbing all their data. When, in fact, the same thing's happening to them by governments around the world. You know, and he said he claimed that there are minimization procedures. And he said these are all based on the Attorney General and the Constitution and all reviewed by the secret courts. He didn't say the secret courts. He said that he absolutely thought folks do have a right to privacy and that we work very hard to make sure that the right to privacy is protected. I feel bad because the whole time he's talking, you just look at him going, yeah, right. Sure you do. Sure you do. So it's the upshot of all this is that wherever this actually lands, it is true that we are in a conflict. Oh, and they ask him, so what do you think is the takeaway from all of this? And he said, the idea we're spreading. He said, so I think learn the facts. This is really important conversation, and it impacts not just the NSA. It's not just the government. It's you. It's the internet companies. The issue of privacy and personal data is much bigger than just the government. So learn the facts. Don't rely on headlines. Don't rely on sound bites. Don't rely on one-sided conversations. So that's the idea I think worth spreading. We have a sign, a badge tab. We wear at work with our lanyards. That our people who work in the organization that does our crypto analytic work have a tab that says, look at the data. So that's the idea we're spreading. Look at the data. Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. So, and that's honorable. That's exactly right. Look at the data. But then, of course, there's a whole Fox Mulder, the truth is out there stuff about how much data is faked to convince us that they're doing one thing. Anyways, all of that to say, there is this question of what will the future look like? Is it going to be a utopia where we have our privacy guaranteed, or is it going to be a dystopia where information is used as a club to bow people to the will of government? I think there's a really interesting tension in all of this. And Edward Snowden made this point. He said, with all of the NSA, huge organization, and here he said, I am one person that decided this wasn't right. And because I am one person, I've exposed all of this. And that is interesting. I think it also goes on the along the lines of, we think we've built all these monoliths to do all these great things, and yet we've got these hackers out there that just tear stuff up. And it's fascinating that, one hacker out there with the right tools can take control of a million computers and pretty much take down any site that he wants to. This balance between structure and rigidity and hierarchy and conformance. And yet, in the midst of all that, you've got individuals who can throw monkey wrenches into everything. That's really interesting. It doesn't matter what form of government you have. If the individual gets mad enough, there is something an individual can do to make a statement and to cause change to come about. So it's going to be really interesting to watch that balance in the coming years. And it's going to be really interesting for me to try to keep that balance in mind as I'm working on the Windfall series. Because in the Windfall series, I'd like to explore this whole thing. Because frankly, I don't have any answers right now as to where that balance is and how that works out. I think I've got some just basic principles like power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But it really is an interesting thing. And I think it's free will in action. That no matter what are the structures, no matter what are the controls that are put in place, no matter how much we try to push conformance, that there are always people at every spot along the spectrum on every issue that you can imagine. And that is a thing that is fascinating to me. about our human existence. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.